hope you are happy to be here in the presence of God. I don't know what I'm preaching yet, so just pray for me. I'm serious. This was one of those mornings where I just truly waited on the Lord. And because I want a fresh word, I prepare and then God tells me not to preach it. So I stopped preparing. There'll be times when God can speak in the week with a message, but 95% of the time, He will tell me not to preach it. So I don't know if I prepared it in the flesh or it's a different struggle, but I know it is the prophetic and it is to say what God wants to say. And it is not easy. I said to somebody, in the week, that is why apostles are die daily, but prophets are stoned. And God sends prophets into a generation. He sends them into a people, into a generation, so that they may kill him and persecute them and kill them. So that the blood of that prophet, and that they can put on all the blood, that he can put all the blood of all the prophets before John on this generation and hold it against them. And the Bible says that is God's wisdom, which means that God's wisdom is to have created me and sent me to be killed. That is His wisdom. And then everybody wants to be prophets. Mention me more than five prophets that's left in the nation. Mention me more than four. Mention me more than three. Are you guys with me? I'm not saying they are. I'm speaking of those who have a platform and that is used by God. They get killed, persecuted, and chased out of the country. Because why? They speak the very oracles of God. They speak the things that people don't want to hear. Well, let me not say people. People love it because it's revelation. They speak the things that the Pharisees don't want to hear. They speak the things that the religious system doesn't want to hear. What is the religious system? They don't dress in a suit. They dress in casual clothes. But they have no power. They seek a sensitive. They speak the one church now, when they do an altar call, they speak of the God of the universe. And there's 4,000 people in the church. Me and Alan were there. We were there before we planted the church. We thought, let us go and check out. Let's look at the best church. That looks like the best church. Let's go and walk in there. I stand there for 5 minutes. I'm raising my hands in worship. And the Lord said to me, the worship leader got drunk last night. He's got a hangover. So I'm looking at him. And I'm looking around. And nobody's raising their hands. No one is raising their hands. I looked at Alan. I said, Alan, if you stay one day in this church, first of all, I'm going to beat you up. Second of all, I said, your soul will die. I said, let's leave now. I think we didn't even leave. They did an altar call in the beginning. So we listened to the altar call and they said, if you want to give your life to the God of the universe and you feel there's a change that happened in you, nothing of Jesus Christ. And it's a big church. And they're going New Age. So we're discussing the New Age thing. Are coming up, especially in the next few weeks. And it's going to offend many people because some, even in here, has been opened up to New Age. May you be delivered. It's like that. It's deception. It doesn't make you evil. It doesn't make you evil because now you have maybe embraced Christ consciousness, for example. It doesn't make you evil. It just means that you were just taken by the enemy and there's a way out. But if a person stays in that thing, oh my gosh, it's like this and deception takes over. So we're going to be dealing with that. But why do people hate prophets so much? It is because they speak the truth. They speak what's from heaven. You see, when I'm talking here, I'm standing and talking, waiting on the Lord. I'm not having a five script point sermon there. I mean, I'm waiting on the Lord to hear what to speak to me so that I can give you what is from heaven and from heaven itself. and tonight the same. And that is how it works. So with me, if there is a teaching, I'll do a teaching. If God gives me, but he allows me very little to do a teaching because we're in a season where I believe there needs to be the apostolic and the prophetic needs to come in to bring a growth. There's many teachers out there. There's many churches that teach. You want to go to them, you can go to them. And even in our prophetic, we teach. We do prophetic teaching, which you will not find anywhere else. Now you must understand, just for me to talk like that, I'm already getting 10 messages this week from pastors who are insecure and that are 10 times bigger than us. You're not the only one who can do prophetic teaching. We are also prophetic teaching. I never said, mind your own business. That is the drama we sit with. Until I made a decision, and those things used to get to me and clog me and put this pressure on me. You see, witchcraft we thought only had three legs: manipulation, intimidation, and control. But there's a fourth leg. It's called obligation. When you're obligated to do something that you don't want to do, that is against your will, that is against your conscience at that moment, but you do it anyway, it's called witchcraft. And the person that is doing it to you, no, and I'm not speaking of obligated because you have made a commitment and of loyalty of a good thing. I'm speaking in a spiritual sense. I hope you guys understand what I'm saying. There's an obligation level that is called witchcraft. It'll suck you in so quickly that you lose your own identity. It'll lead you to manipulation. So I can only trust that we preach the right word here by fact of the fruits that we see and etc. And we don't grow here because this is the only size building we have. In Krugersdorp, I'm not allowed to say what we're doing, but we're doing something very big there because it's full there. So we're doing something very big there before our big building. So because it's our own building, we can do something there. This is not our building. We can't do anything here. So we have to wait for 85 million before we can do something, or we'll see whatever bargain we can get. I know we don't want to look for bargains, but we'll, unless if there's a real good deal that comes up that we can take as a building. But the vision has always been to build in Centurion, and I don't want to lower the, I will rather buy land and then we go month by month and we just build and we just throw a million or two a month in every month. We know how to generate money. We're not a church that just takes up tithes and offerings, trust me. We have Global School of Ministry. We've got Encounter Now app. Encounter Now app generates money. That's why I want to ask all of you, if you are sitting in this church and you're not on Encounter Now app, you are a sinner, okay? Get on Encounter Now app. It generates finances to us. There's a lot of things that generates finances. What else is there? Partners. I've given all my partners, over 500 financial partners, monthly financial partners, over 600,000 rand a month. That was mine. Oh, you know, take how silent it goes now. It was in a company, okay? It was in a company and it was mine. After tax and etc. And we didn't want to pay tax, so we moved it into a ministry. But it was still my ministry. It had nothing to do with the church. And the Lord said to me to give it to the church for the building fund. So now that we can get to a million of savings, that once we touch a million of savings, we know that once we buy land, we can put a million a month in to start building. But we're trying to get to 2 million. So that we can build fast, so that it doesn't take us 4 years to build, but 2 years to build. And it's going to be about 85 million, excluding lights, that's 10 million, excluding sound, that's 10 million, excluding audio visuals, that's another, I don't know, 10 million, excluding interior, that's another 10 million. You look about 120 million, and the banks don't help. So we need you. We need you. Once we got the, we don't say anything now. Once we got the land, I'm going to say to guys, remortgage your house, rebond your houses. I'm serious. You think I'm joking? If I can do it, others can do it. And whatever I ask, I will do myself. And I know that those who do it will get so blessed, because we're building a house that stands for the supernatural. The only one. The only one in Centurion. Now, I've watched where all of you live. We've got it on a Google map, on a red dot, everywhere. It's exactly where you live. So it looks like you're driving quite far to the church. Some of you are driving 8 minutes, some of you are driving 10 minutes to church. Am I right? So, 3 minutes. So you can drive a little bit farther. That's fine. So we might move a little bit outside of Centurion. I just hope we don't lose all of you. Then I have to start all over again. But because the land here is just, it's not coming forth. When I say outside of Centurion, it's still called Centurion. Centurion goes very far, the boundaries, okay? It's just outside of the mall section, the busy section. But we need a place on the highway. So for it to be international and national, we need it to be on the highway, but it needs to, maybe it'll be a bit out. Maybe it'll look like it's in the felt somewhere, but there will be future developments that'll come up. But that is what we are looking at. And in the meantime, we're doing something spectacular with Krugersdorp. That is, and we have to there. And that is easy because it's our own building. And you know, the value that increases when we do that is insane. So we need you guys to be on board, and we need you guys to be on board, and that is why prophets get skilled, because prophets and apostles have the ability to advance forward, more so a prophet, because the Bible says a prophet will cause you to prosper. There is no way that you give into the ministry or the life of a prophet and you will not be blessed. It is not about me as a person. It is a gift. It is not about me. It is just the gift that is in me, because we get persecuted daily. I told you just last week, I found a 15-page document. I can't tell you from whom. Maybe soon I'll tell you, depending on how they will respond this week. Okay, from the top in the land, coming from here and there and parliament, and I mean, from that they're investigating, going to close the church and this and that, and I'm stealing money, and then I'm going to Dubai, and then I'm doing this, and the most ridiculous accusations. I found the one person whose name is there, very well-known preacher, whose name is in there. I phoned him, I said, listen here. Your name is in here. And another well-known preacher, which I'm not going to mention also. I said, your name is also in here. Please explain to me what is going on. Please. And this is, when I say the well-known preacher, this is a person who caused a move of God around the globe. Okay? And I called them. And I said, your name is in here, in this letter. And this is not a good letter. This is saying that I'm stealing my people's money. This is saying that they're going to put me into the newspapers. They already have contacted the newspapers. This is saying that I'm wearing occultic rings. Dear God, I don't even wear a wedding ring. They said that a lot of things. I went to Ghana, then I went to Zimbabwe for initiation. That's why I shared my testimony on Isaiah Saldivar, where I got initiated before I was saved into the occult. Because people come the whole time, initiation. Listen, man, I was initiated before I was saved. Then I got saved. Then those soul ties got broken. And what I didn't finish about the testimony, for those of you who have listened to what I didn't finish about the testimony, I said, I wrote a letter in blood to Satan to give my soul to Satan. Okay? And I forgot to finish it. And what I would say, what I would finish was about many years later. I was about 25. I came off for holiday to my parents, and I went to visit this one friend of mine where we had all these parties. And as I walked into his house, he said, Leon, he says, when you were this age, you asked me to give you, to keep this letter for you. And he gave me this letter. I had no idea what it was. I opened it, and as I rolled it open, I saw what it was. And it was the same letter that I wrote. And it gave me the ability to renounce it, to burn it, and to break that contract with somebody that was spiritual. So that is how God works. So that initiation was broken. Initiations before salvation doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, you know, but we don't. So there's no way that I will go into any initiation. People saying, but you're just this innocent, you're just this ignorant white boy. Listen, I know what initiation is. You're just trying to demean or to bring down, weaken the power of Christ, the power of prophecy, to say the only way we can prophesy like this, and I am on a low level of prophecy right now because of all this nonsense that is going on. Because if I prophesy to somebody their name, you got it on Facebook. I did it the other day here once, but that was because it was God. And if I would do it like that, it would not be on Facebook. So now we prophesy more in terms of prediction of what's going to happen. Let's get into the scripture. Are you guys with me? And I want to welcome, there's a lot of people on from international, Canada, UK, Arizona, USA, Pakistan, San Antonio, California, Ethiopia, Seattle, Missouri, San Diego, North Augusta, USA, UK, Barbados, Zambia, Hawaii, Botswana, Scotland, local Pretoria, Port Elizabeth, Free State, Worcester, Centurion, Bloemfontein, Potchefstroom, Carltonville, Paul, Bluff, Hermanus, Durbanville, Edenville. Once the church is planted, why must we build this church? Because we're going to be planting churches in every city. Okay. Do you know how easy it is? I could do it now already, but I refuse because we need a headquarters. We need headquarters. We can do it now. We got requests from all over. We can buy buildings like this now. One for 2 million, 3 million. We can buy buildings now, and then there's a church. But it's spreading yourself too thin. We need a headquarters. That is why Global School of Ministry is important, that you can be trained up, sent out to become a pastor, and go and plant the church. Are you guys with me? Look at Stefan. In 1 year, he did what we took 5 years for us to do. In 1 year, it's the power of importation. When you catch the mantle, there's a double portion that comes, which means legitimately, legally, you are proportionately allowed a double measure and a double portion that is allotted to you. Now, Elisha asked for a double portion, but if he asked for a quadruple portion, or five times more, or six times more, he would have gotten it. He just had a small mind and said, just give me double of what you had. You can have 100 times more. There's no limitation in Scripture. Are you guys with me? So let's go to 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse 38. 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse 38. And I want to ask everybody, listen, I know you were up 3. How many of you were up 3 a.m.? It was quite a few. Okay. How many of you watched it afterwards, the interview? If you haven't watched it afterwards, please go watch it. Then you'll understand what I was saying. But we're going to have an interview next week. Next week, the 17th. 6 p.m. PST time, which is the Thursday morning for us, 3 a.m. again. But this is going to be amazing. This is with Bob Lawson. How many of you have heard of Bob Lawson? Raise your hands. Oh, so if I bring him here, you will. Okay, so I'll be interviewed by him. He's the leading exorcist in the world. He's done over 50,000 one-on-one deliverances. He's 80 years old. He's does 30 deliverances a day. We build our deliverance system on his. He is phenomenal. He is He's been interviewed by Dr. Phil, by Oprah, by Larry King, by CNN, by MSNBC, by everything and everyone that you can think of. And he just looks at you and the devil comes out, okay? So he'll be having me on his live show for somebody that's doing something in South Africa regarding deliverance. And the word got to him about us. And the word got to him about us. And so that'll be 3 a.m. Thursday morning next week. Please watch it. I mean, you just set your alarm for 3 a.m. instead of 5 a.m. Okay? Just said you just go to bed earlier that night. It's take a nap during the day. It's not a bad thing. But watch it. It is going to be amazing because it's going to be live interaction. And it's going to, maybe he does deliverance on me. You never know. Watch 3 a.m. Now, if there's anybody I will go to for deliverance, it's him. Believe it or not, you know, we do go for deliverance. As I said, sometimes I'll ask Vlad to pray for me. Sometimes he likewise, he the same, and others to me. And that's how we operate. But we can't find people who can do deliverance on us. What conference do I go sit in to get feed from? I went and tried one. I went and sat there. Dear Lord Jesus, a church of 8,000 people. I sit there. Me and my whole team were there. Now, recently. And I'm like, okay, praise and worship. Okay, it's an anointing. They start the message. And before I knew it, they're like, amen, altar call, we finished. I'm like, what's the time? It's 20 minutes. It's finished. And it was like just on TV. And the guy had so much Botox, it wasn't even funny. And it was just on TV. It was like not even a live speaker. And I walk out and everybody's like, wow, did you hear that message? It's so powerful. It's the best message I'm like, it's the worst message I've ever heard in my life. The church has to change where power can be hosted. That is why I'm saying we need a building. I know there is at least in our church, at least 6 millionaires. I know you can give something towards this building. And I know that you know, and if you don't know, now you know, that we don't mess with your money. We have the plans, we have the investments, we have enough money for the land already to purchase the land. Well, kind of like a little few million, maybe less, but that we can get quickly. That's not a problem. For me to get 4 million or so is nothing. That's nothing. Okay, we're not pastors that are crying about 4 million. One pastor was crying, he wanted to do something on his church, like build something in his church. It would have cost him 10 grand. He's complaining for 3 months on Facebook. Oh, what a 10 grand. I'm thinking, I eat that out with my team on a supper, you know? 10 grand? No, man, the church has to grow up. Another person, they would have been given a huge building and it only had a 2.5 million rand bond on. I was told this last year, the year before, and they couldn't furnish the bond, so they couldn't take the building. I said, 2.5 million. The person said to me, yes, if they would just pay that, they can have the whole building. I said, 2.5. I said, listen, if you give it to me, give me 5 minutes. I make 2 phone calls and I'll give you the money. Know how to work with money. Know how to raise money. But the thing is that we have to build this center. And we're not going to go massive 5,000, 8,000 seater. That's not my vision, because those things are going to become white elephants. Trust me. I've seen the future. We're going to do 1,300 to 1,500, can extend to 1,500 seater. And it's going to be many facilities. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to stand out. It's going to be big lights. It's going to be amazing. Okay? It's going to be broadcasting studios, everything inside. And it's going to be either amphitheater or we're going to have a balcony all around like this. But we'll see what we'll do. But I want you to be part of this vision. Begin to save now. If you get a bonus, if you get something, have a sacrifice. It's 3 years. I think it's going to be 3 to 5 years. I think it's going to be 3 to 5 years. But your life will be so blessed after that. Don't give up in the moment. Your life will be blessed. I can tell you now one thing. God is in this place. Let's go to 2 Kings. Where were we? 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse 38. 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse 38. And Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, "Put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets." So one went out into the field to gather herbs. Say with me, a pot. A pot represents your destiny. Okay? So one went out into the field to gather herbs. Herbs are bitter. The herbs they were gathering there were bitter herbs. And found a wild vine, and gathered from it a lapful of wild gourds, and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. Please understand, this was a young prophet. Then they served it to the men and eat. And now it happened, as they were eating the stew, they cried out and said, "Man of God, there is death in the pot." And they could not eat it. So he said, "Then bring some flour," and he put it in the pot and said, "Serve it to the people that they may eat." And there was nothing harmful in the pot. And as I was reading this, I heard the Lord saying to me, there's death in the pot when it comes to South Africa and the body of Christ. You're not understanding what I'm saying. Why is there death in the pot? They want to remove prophets, and they end up with a bunch of young prophets that don't know what they are doing, and they're causing a poisoning in the pots, and they're causing a poisoning and death in the pots. And this is not just a pot, it is your destiny. How many people have come from prophets to our church and their lives were destroyed by one false prophecy? One prophecy that was given over them that said that this will happen and that will happen, and they come back, they lost their wives, they lost their kids, they lost their business, they lost this. You can raise your hands here. There's so many that can raise their hands that say, "This happened to me, this happened to me, this happened to me." Why? Because of death in the pot. A young prophet mixing something that he didn't know how to mix. A young prophet prophesying something he didn't know how to prophesy. And there was not a senior prophet to fix the situation. And those people would come to our church, and we have to kind of like, we have to fix the situation. I mean, we had one time a ring of fire, and as we're praying, there was probably four couples. I come to the one, before I say anything, I'm like, "Do you come from this prophetess?" One, two, and I mention the name. And they're like, "Yes, we lost everything." And their eyes are bewitched. When I say bewitched, you look into their eyes, there's no freedom, there's no love. Look into a person's eyes and you can see what spiritual food they are getting. I'm like, I'm looking into their eyes, your eyes are going like this all over the show, or they're just confused, or there's a veil over. And I would say, this is a false prophetess that did this. One day, this prophet came into our church, could not stand. I mean, during praise and worship, was running around like a wild rabbit. Then to the bathroom, then back, then there, then back, then up, then down, then standing up, then didn't know what to do. The devil was not comfortable. And as I was preaching with authority. Before I was done, they were gone. And you run your own church? And I could have said a lot of more things. And I said to somebody, I said, "Tell them I want to see them afterwards." Because I would have called them and said to them, "You are doing 1, 2, 3, 4. Do you know how many ministers are in adultery? You'll be shocked if I tell you who. Let's leave that one alone. Just pray for me that God would keep. I'm not being arrogant towards them. I'm actually saying, pray for me that it doesn't happen to us. The enemy, South Africa, is in a very, very rough state in the body of Christ. It needs churches that can stand with the glory of God. I know it might feel like I'm robbing everything out of your pocket for this building project. But if I be a prophet of God, if prophecies have come to pass, if an angel has spoken to me, you will see your money multiplied. The newspapers will say, I rob you. Let them say that. I know God's principles. Too much. I have done it myself. Do you know how my wife and I are blessed? The one day we had nothing, the next day we had everything. And I'm not unwise about it. I'm giving 600,000 rand a month away again. A month away for the next 5, 6, 7 years. However long it takes to build 2 buildings. Are you guys with me? And I do that so that I don't take a salary from the church, by the way. But now I have to take a salary from the church because I gave that away. Begin to think in your heart and your mind the project that lies ahead. Encounter cannot, this is not encounter. This is not encounter. This is not where we are supposed to be. This is just a step of where we are going. This is not even the amount of people. We are an international ministry. Do you know how many international ministries, how international followers we have? Do you know how many people, Gerard and Ellie moved here? Kelly moved here. There's more couples moving here. People are moving here for all over the show. Now imagine once we establish this thing, it's going to be a house of the supernatural. That one day the supernatural will be preserved. That when your kids walk past by the building drug addicted, something will come upon them. And it will be the anointing. And it's because of a legacy and a seed that you have sown. So listen to this. He says, death in the pot and they could not eat it. So he said, bring me some flour. He threw it in and there was nothing harmful in the pot. So there was a senior prophet that was needed. Are you guys with me? Young prophets mess up. Young prophets mess up bad. So the pot is your destiny. I have been in this ministry for many years. Just because I didn't call myself a prophet doesn't mean I wasn't a prophet. All I did was prophesying. Let's go to the next verse. Acts 2 Kings chapter number 6 verse 1. 2 Kings chapter number 6 verse 1. And please understand, this was a young prophet. Are you guys with me? A young prophet. And the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, see now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Say with me, encounter is too small for us. Okay, thank you. Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell. So he answered and he said, go. Then one said, please consent to go with your servants. And he answered and he said, I will go with you. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Say with me, it was borrowed. So the young prophet messed up again. The young prophet, I want to explain this. The young prophet in this situation and in the previous story that I just spoke to you about has only a servant's mantle. They did not yet have a leadership mantle. They were given a mantle to serve the senior prophet. Are you guys with me? Now you're in a prophetic house. You're being taught evangelism. You're being taught intercessory. But let me tell you something. While there's preaching taking place and prophesying taking place, the spirit of prophecy will come upon you. You will suddenly feel you can prophesy to your work colleague. You can do this, you can do that, And as we have our prophetic institutes, and we must start our prophetic institute again, we train our prophets. But it's the spirit of prophecy that will come upon you, that will cause you to prophesy. And South Africa and her leaders, whether in the church or politicians, hates prophets. I'm going to say it again. South Africa and her leaders, whether in the church or politicians, hates prophets. They chased everyone out. I'll go down guns blazing, but I'm not going to leave the country. You've seen great prophets. Where are they? Some are in hiding. Some might think now of a name. Where are they? They're in hiding. This place is too small for us. Please let us go to Jordan and let us make... Okay, then he says, can you come with us? And this prophet says, I will go with you. So he went with them. And when they came down to Jordan, they cut down the trees. But as one cutting down a tree, the iron axe fell into the water. And he cried and he said, alas, my master, for it was borrowed. So with a borrowed. There was a borrowed anointing. I'm not going to finish with this word this morning, because the second part I'm going to do next time, because it is powerful. It is going to be, is there a next time? There will be a next time. Okay, somewhere. Yeah, we'll do part two. And he showed me the place, so he cut off a stick. Listen to this. He said, where has the axe head fallen? But let me first take a note of this. The quarters was too small. The senior prophet did not take note of it. The sons took note of it. Are you guys with me? The senior prophet didn't even say, let us do something about it. The son said, let us do something about this. Let us make this thing bigger. We are sitting in a recession. We are sitting in a nation that doesn't want to borrow any money to the church. And so be it. They didn't want to borrow any money to me as a church, as a prophet. Do you know what the bank said to me when I applied for a bond? You're in money laundry. Because you are a prophet. I'm like, how do you know I'm a prophet? Nowhere in my credentials, they Googled. You're a prophet, you're a money laundry. I said, God, how am I ever going to get a house? I don't have money. And in 3 months, the Lord gave it to us cash. And I want to correct the little stupid YouTube video out there that our little idiot friend did. Don't worry, he can't sue me, he doesn't have too much money. Okay, so that made a video about me and said how I said I never borrowed money, but I did borrow money. I did borrow money. No, I was supposed to borrow money. I was supposed to borrow about 2 million, because we were 2 million short, and I was supposed to borrow it from Pastor Chris. And as I was supposed to borrow it from him to finish the deal to get the house. Because you know, when you buy a house the way we did with no bank money, you have to put surety down of 1 million or 2. And if you don't meet the certain requirements by date, they take that surety. Yes, that's the deals that we make. It's a bulldog tenacity deal. Okay, it's like you put some money down and you're going to lose it if you don't get the money, so everything in you gets money. If you want to make money and you're brave, that's how you make money. Okay? And I'm doing it with all the properties that I'm buying. Anyway, and why am I buying properties? Because I want to be financially free and I want to be no burden to the church. That is my goal. So I would have supposed to, we made a plan. We said, okay, I'm going to borrow money from you. I got my stocks. I got this. I got that. I got all of this. It's just locked away, but it's surety. So I'll give you passwords for all of this. You know, this, all this stuff. I'll give you passwords for my investments. it's low now, but it'll go up. And you can have that. That covers the surety completely. And he said, yes, okay, let's do it this way because the deal needs to go through. Before he could put in the money that I borrowed from him, I was supposed to borrow it from him, when he looked at the account, the money was already in there. And it was a trust account that nobody had. It was pure miracle money. Just to correct the little false YouTube video for them so that they can have some bread and milk, get some money, get some views. Okay. So if God could do that for me as a house, bond free, I have no stress about interest rates. He can do it for you. It is a prophetic rule and protocol. He can do it for you. Nobody gave me money. Nobody gave me money. Nobody came and gave me millions. No family came and gave me millions. Please, no one. I know you have some names in your mind. No one. I wish it did happen, like it happens to other preachers. But I don't, for some reason, I don't know. It didn't happen. I'm always finding the one that I'm the one that's always sowing. But you know, things works out differently for us. Have your seats. And if you can do it for us, you can do it for the church. So I believe fully, wholeheartedly, it'll be done for the church. So listen to this. The axe head fell into the water. He said, alas, my master, the axe head was borrowed. The anointing was borrowed. The thing that is sharpened in my life is not yet mine. I'm working off a borrowed anointing. I need your help on this one. He was a servant prophet still. He was operating on a servant's mantle. Are you guys with me? He was operating on a servant's mantle. Then he called the master. Let me just read you. Alas, master, and say with him, master. Isn't it amazing that they call the master prophet? And we have such problems with titles these days. Titles this, titles that. There is no titles in the Bible, people. They are gifts. They are names. When you see a pastor, it's not a title, it's a gift. It's no title. It's a gift from Christ. So listen to this. He showed him where it fell. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there. He threw it in there. And he made the iron float. Hold on. Say with me, he made. Let it say God made. Let it say Jesus made. Holy Spirit made. Elisha made. The axe head floats. There's something about you. You're not catching it. You're not catching it. You're looking at me like a quack. You're looking at me like Adam on Mother's Day. Like one person is like, get out of your graveyard. Get out of your grave clothes. I always encourage people when you come to encounter, I understand don't dress Gucci or Louis Vuitton or don't dress in church clothes, but dress like you are going to a party or something. Not now, okay? Dress like you're going to a ball, or dress like you're meeting the king. Don't sit. Dress comfortably, like you can see I'm very comfortable. I don't like suits too much, okay? I dress them now and then, but I'm very comfortable. But know your value and know your worth. Why are we preaching this stuff? People might judge us out there. We don't really care what you're saying, okay? Because we are bringing a people out of the clutches of poverty. Listen to me. The spirit of poverty wants to come into Centurion. And if you're not going to see it beforehand, with eyes open beforehand, it's going to overtake you. Listen to me carefully. The spirit of poverty wants to come into Centurion. I have seen him already from last year. This demon. Yes, he's in a few little regions, but I'm speaking of, he wants to take over Centurion. And before we know it, if we don't perceive, that's why I want to move a little bit outside of Centurion with the church. If we don't perceive it beforehand, we are overtaken. But when your eyes of your spirit is opened, you have the ability to see an attack beforehand. You can see, but wait, something is coming. You know, I'll say to my wife many times, something's coming. Something is coming. I don't know what it is, but I usually get body memories. It hits me, it's a prophetic sign. It comes to my body, I get body memories. Then I know an attack is coming. The first thing I do is I retreat. I see no one. And then I begin to pray, or I begin to focus in the spirit, or I enter into the spirit realm. And then I begin to deal with the thing of what it is. But I try to see the attack from beforehand. As a prophetic people in this church, know that you have the ability to perceive an attack before it comes. To see the temptation before it comes. Are you guys with me? Jesus said it to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Can you not pray with me for at least an hour without falling asleep? The spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak." So that you can see the temptation coming. So it may not overtake you. So have your seat. So the axe head was... So the axe head was dropping. The master prophet, the senior prophet, took the piece of wood, threw it at the place where the young prophet said, there is... It fell there. And Elisha made the axe head float. I'm giving to you the value of a prophet. What a prophet can do for you. When we stand here, we are not normal gifts. That's why we are hated. I was asked by Isaiah Saldivar, why do people hate prophets so much? I said, it's because we can do things they cannot do. It's the truth. A man came into my house, a dear man. I love him very much. He's probably watching now. I love him very much. He had incredible job, incredible position, incredible job. And he lost everything. Went through a tremendous medical condition. And his kids began to call him a monster. His wife said to his kids, he's a monster. They took him from him. He couldn't see his kids and his family for over a year or two. He sent his CV into 800 places. Nothing happened. Now a curse was put upon him. He come with his loss. When I say a big salary, the man earned big. Okay, earned big. It was like some CIO or something from a bank. Comes to my house with a beautiful box with cash in. Not a lot, not little. But I know it was all he had. When I say not a lot, not hundreds of thousands, not little, not 10,000 or something like that. He came with me, he said, "Prophet, I know. If I give this to you now as a seed and you pray for me, I will be restored." I'm thinking, my Lord, I don't know anything. Because you see, there you don't fake that. You don't take that money and nothing happens. So I'm sitting there and I'm like trying to figure out all these ideas. I'm like, have you done this? Have you done this? Have you gone to this job? Have you, you know, I'm just in the flesh. I'm just tuning him. Have you tried everything? Maybe we can do this. I say, Chris, phone this place, get him a job here. Do this. Let's do something. And I go into my room with a box of money and I get on my knees And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, if you do not vindicate, I said, if this man leaves this house without a miracle, I am not a prophet. And I'm not going to prophesy in your name anymore. If something doesn't open up for him, I'm not going to prophesy in your name anymore. Because he comes to me perceiving that I'm a prophet, recognizing that I'm a prophet. And he puts down, and I put down the box there, and I remember praying, and I stood up, and I went out back to see him and meet him. Went down, and it was the Friday, the Monday, he received a call back from the place that fired him. Got his position back. Now he's restored to his family. It's the value of a prophet. And it's not me, it's the gift. That's what we need to understand. It's the gift, it's not me. Are you guys with me? One thing we as prophets know, it's the gift, it's not us. So he cut the stick off, threw in there, and he, Elisha, made the axe head flow. Therefore he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. So be for yourself. Pick it up for yourself. Meaning it is time that you pick up the gift for yourself. Stop trying to think that let's Prophet Leon do it. Let me get to Prophet Leon. Let me just message Prophet Leon. No. Pick it up for yourself. And begin to move and operate in it. Now we're on the value of a prophet, part one. Next time I'm going to do part two. And we're going to get into the servant's mantle, the leadership mantle. And what God is going to do with that, from spiritual senses to be opened, to spiritual eyes to be opened. And what is the process and the progress to get the leadership mantle. Are you guys with me? Stand to your feet where you are. Raise your hands to the Lord. Raise your hands to the Lord. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ. May the anointing rest on them. May the glory of God rest upon them. May you speak to people here. Businessmen like professionals to sow into the vision fund to begin. Even if it's 100K now, but for 100K each month for the next 3 years or 4 years or 200K. And if as they can, even if it be a sacrifice, that it goes into an investment account, that it builds up our vision fund. And Father, that your glory will rest upon each one that gives into that fund. That as they build your house, you will build their house. As I build your house, you build my house. Cash free, debt free, you build my house. I transfer that anointing upon their lives right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, with a prophet's touch, in Jesus' mighty name, may the glory of God rest upon them. May the fire of God rest upon them. May they know that we are servant prophets, but we're going to move into a place of leadership prophets. Even in their part two, as we go on with this, that we'll understand the tests and trials of a prophet, but that the voice of the Lord will speak through them, that visions and dreams will not be rare in their lives. But that there'll be a peculiar people, a special people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation that is walking this earth, a remnant that is special. In Jesus' mighty name, give him a praise offering, church.